I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, MJ.
Hi, Marie.
And hi, listeners. Welcome to Dispatches from the Kardashian Simulacrum,
where we process our media theory takeaways and other hot takes from last night's episode of The Kardashians.
Yes. And we have just watched episode 3 of season 3. MJ, what are your thoughts? What's going on?
First of all, I feel like they put us in a position to be engaging more parasocially with the content than I'm actually that comfortable with. Like, there are stuff that allow us to do some media theory takeaways, but I feel like there are more hot takes than anything else. In this episode, we see Courtney on a press tour for Lemmy. We see Kim continuing this Dolce & Gabbana-like narrative, laying the groundwork for whatever eventual conflict is to come with Courtney. We see her bonding with North and having a lot of time with Scott, which we'll get into.
Mm-hmm.
And what else happens? And then Chloe processing this new baby, Tatum, with Chris.
We're used to the Kardashians giving us curated narratives and all of that. But what's interesting about what they're doing now, it's like they do insert these kind of really real things, very like intimate things about like their family dynamic, mm-hmm. or processing the relationship with a new baby, like that's all very intimate, but they're also making it very clear that they're not giving us other details. Like, we're not going to hear about who Kim's dating by name,
mm-hmm.
but we're going to hear about like what she may or may not be like in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just another way of like shifting what they're giving and what they're not.
They've always balanced the real and the staged in these compelling ways. That's what brought me to the show. That's what kind of created Kardashian Colloquium, is this weird feeling that it evoked, this balance they struck. And so in this like super polished, curated, hard to relate to new era of the show, which obviously that was what the last episode was all about, was them hearing the feedback from the public about how it felt unrelatable. And now they're saying, okay, fine, we'll give you more real stuff. What they're giving us is more telling than showing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not going to show us, this is my like go-to example, I guess, but like, they're not going to necessarily show us Scott on a bender, like looking half conscious, very disturbing, but they're going to, they're not going to give us like a Kim K sex tape, you know, ever again, but they're going to, this brings us into the first point, the first takeaway. They're going to, mm-hmm. give us Kim telling us what she's like in bed. So we'll get to that. So
let's get into it. What was our first takeaway from today's episode?
Kim's Sex and the City references, which like opens into a few different points. But while the episode starts with Kim and Scott out to eat, and while they're talking about her potential future dating life,
mm-hmm.
and she's kind of dangling, there's a possibility there's someone that Scott calls Fred. That's like a, what's the word I'm looking
for? Code name?
It's a code name.
Yeah.
And she's saying that there's someone in New York named Fred that she's been kind of seeing. They kind of talk about this in terms of Sex and the City. Scott asks her some question, like, are you watching Sex and the City? Like, as like some kind of like supportive media engagement as she navigates singlehood,
mm-hmm.
Singledom. And she says, oh, I fall asleep watching it every night, which for what it's worth, like as a therapist, like I will literally like sometimes like certain clients who are having a hard time, like being single or with dating, I'll say, like, why not watch Sex and the City and just, like, see it normalized? And, like, obviously it's not that in and of itself is not a relatable show in so many ways, but the formulaic kind of, like, way it's written and how, like, addictive it is. For like, sure. It's just it's a fun little prescription that usually has always gone over well. So it's interesting that Scott brings that in. He makes a joke. We need to find you a Mr. Big. And first of all, like, once you notice that you can't unsee it, like, how often everyone in their realm uses media references to narrate.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, it's a shorthand way of being, like, oh, who would Kim's Mr. Big be? What would that be like? And it just kind of, like...
Well, it shows that they're thinking in these narratives all the time.
Yeah.
And so it's, like in Succession, when they would, like, think in headlines. Yes. Like, or kind of think in, like, how you would be describing the business move if you were just describing someone far away from you.
Yeah.
Whose career you were just, like, referencing.
They, like, pan back and look at how it looks from the outside. Mm-hmm. And, like, it compresses the narrative more. So then they're like, who would Kim's Mr. Big be? And then it gets us thinking about that. Which, by the way, like, when Kim and Kanye broke up, that was a few matters of public discourse were, what will Kim's fashion sense be now without Kanye? And, like, who will be next?
Right.
So, also, by the way, like, you mentioned in our last episode, like, the function that Scott plays.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Scott plays the perfect function for these kinds of things. And they even kind of, I think, sort of tried to tease a, like, are there vibes between Kim and Scott? Did you notice that?
Yeah. They wanted to just plant the image in your head. If not, like, I don't know if they're meant to, like, have you speculate, but they're just positioning them,
yeah,
in this, like, way where you almost picture it.
Like, in, like, the rom-com where it's, like, the two best friends, are they gonna fall in love?
For sure.
And she's like, because Scott and I are both single right now. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's, like, do you think it's one of those things where they just kind of want you to, like, play? It's something for people to chew on?
Yes. I don't think they're gonna develop it.
Right.
But I do think that there was, like, a little, like, they just phrased certain things in the positioning of Kim and Scott spending so much time together in an interesting way. In a, like, slightly, like, loaded, little titillating way.
They always do little things like that. Like, later in the episode,
yeah,
there's just a little shout out to, like, Chris saying that Kylie's her favorite. And mm-hmm. It's just, like, why? One, it's, again, to, like, get the nostalgia piece in where of, like, the referencing old episodes, but then mm-hmm. also just to be, like,
a little spice.
Yeah, just spice. some Twitter thread,
right,
get started on it.
Yes.
Or just one, some that becomes one reaction that somebody, like, talks about.
Yeah, it is. They themselves have said that their whole thing is throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really true that social media is a slot machine. Beyond the algorithms being slot machines of, like, what's going to go viral and get me those likes, I'm sure for them, the relationship to social media is also, like, what will ignite.
Right.
And so it's sort of like, we'll throw them bigger stuff and we'll throw little mini things and maybe someone will, like, latch on.
Totally.
Very interesting. So while talking with Scott about her experience as a single lady and this mysterious Fred, who is he real or not? Who knows? Mm-hmm. You may or may not. It's very easy to be like, there's someone, but here's a fake name and you're never going to know who until it develops.
Right.
Kim talks about how difficult it is to date being Kim Kardashian and that she kind of triangulates herself with the media and says that the media, what was the term she used? She said something like, the media made me feel like I'm in a very serious relationship. And she said that in reference to Pete Davidson.
Mm-hmm.
So she kind of, like, offloads it. I don't want to say accountability, that's too much, but she offloads, like, the narrative and how it all played out with Pete onto the media.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but you are the media.
Right. You know? Like, you created that story, yeah, also. That's interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way because I was thinking about it more in the way of what it might actually be like to, like, experience a relationship in the public eye like that. And I think they actually do prioritize, like, having the audience try to imagine that.
No, they got me there too mentally.
Yeah.
For sure. And Scott uses another media reference and he says, you must feel like pretty lady when you have a man come to your hotel room.
Pretty lady?
You're a pretty woman.
You know the movie Pretty Lady. It's a classic.
I think part of that's because of whatever was filming in our neighborhood today.
It was called, like,
was it called Pretty Lady? I think it was actually called, I'm going to check it really fast because I searched it. I actually just need to know. I'm sorry.
Pretty Lady. It's like the Kirkland brand of Pretty Woman.
Pretty Bird.
Oh.
But that still isn't Pretty Lady, though.
That's like you literally calling, like, that's like you saying a video is a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
For it's sure. Like that. Like Pretty Lady, the one with Richard Gere and what's her face?
Julia Roberts. No, for sure. So he says, you must be like Pretty Woman. He actually uses the way he, Scott puts emphasis on trying to evoke what it feels like, I think, for the viewer, as you're mm-hmm. saying, and which was also true.
Which is a, I'm saying though, that's a device, like, that they do often. It's not just in this episode. Like, they kind of do engage the viewer in that way of, like, also having them understand the subjectivity of Kim, like, being in the public eye and what that relationship and how that affects this and how that affects that.
Yes, you know? No, like, bringing us into it. Like, if Kim is all of our Barbie, mm-hmm. then it's, like, the idea of the function of Barbie is to, like, kind of feel like you're living Barbie's little life when for you put sure. her in, like, the convertible and take her to some scene. So that's sort of them being, like, this is how it feels, like, when as you, like, live vicariously through Kim, like, we're going to give you more of that, like, perspective.
Right.
No, what I thought was interesting is that Scott is understanding his assignment and, like, helping create that sense for the viewer. And he keeps putting emphasis on, when you're on dates, you can't go inside, outside, you must be inside. And he, like, literally, like, emphasizes this indoor versus outdoor, inside versus that interior, exterior paradigm. It's mm-hmm. like, and it's very academic to do that. Like, it's just, like, such an academic way to, like, break it down into a code, you yes. know?
No, for sure. He, like, he's really good at kind of explicating it and not yes. only serving the function for the narrative of shifting the POV for the viewer of the main character. But, like, he also, I think he really probably does think about it. So he, mm-hmm. like, I think he also kind of does have an academic kind of, like, outside perspective that, and he's able to articulate yeah. that very well, actually.
Yeah. No, he's very, like, I mean, because the essence of the Kardashians is these questions that social media brings up for all of us of, like, what is public, what is private.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting.
Yeah, they are social media. So they are, watching them is also a meditation on, like, its effects.
How it trickles down to all of us.
Yes. And how we're all in our own little Truman shows.
Right. And also the conversation becomes a way to discuss, like, who Kim is in intimacy, back to, like, public private, actually. Mm-hmm. And we all feel that we know this because there, it all began with a sex tape, but because, basically, do you want to explain, like, what happens, like, what Kim's describing?
Oh.
She's kind of like, I'm comfortable being nude on photo shoots, but, like, in bed, I want the lights off.
Right, right. Yeah. Oh, that's very sweet of you trying to, like, engage me. Marie, do you want to explain what she meant?
That was a big sister.
That really was. Oh, my God. But, yeah, that was, like, to me, that was, like, an example of what we were talking about in the beginning of how, like, that's a very intimate thing to know. Like, you're picturing her then in an intimate situation. Yeah. And then it also harkens back to, like, the actual visuals we have of her in a very intimate situation. And it, like, it's like, they're giving that to us. Like, they're right. not saying who Fred is,
yeah.
but, like, they're giving that. Yes. And, like, it's just a different, it's a different way of storytelling, and it's, like, a new engaging way. So they're mm-hmm. always, like, it's always going to be, as they get more successful, what's also more convenient for them. So maybe it is more convenient for people to, like, chew on the idea of Kim, like, wanting the lights off when she's fucking.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets to actually go date Fred.
Right.
You know?
Totally. And then Fred will be debuted when she wants him to be.
Right.
If he's real. And also, the idea of Kim being modest when it comes to actual sexuality plays into how much they've emphasized that Kim doesn't drink. And how, which they did through the whole way from the beginning. And that was a notable contrast to Kim does a lot of, like, sexy photo shoots, mm-hmm. but she doesn't drink. She's still a good girl. So it's still a way of, like, this Madonna horror paradigm that mm-hmm. they've always played with.
For sure.
And, like, really mastered.
Yes. And I'm also just really quick thinking about how, like, Succession.
She's, like, Succession-brained right now because she just watched the finale.
Yes, I really am. I'm drunk on it. Yeah. No, but it's just that, like, but that's why Succession is such a good show, because it's, like, such under, like, thinking about Succession makes me understand, like, the larger media landscape.
For sure.
Like, as they get bigger and more successful, it's, like, eerie how much control they have. Like, they create entire media narratives based on, like, what's convenient for them for their actual lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, their lives can go more smoothly.
Totally.
Yeah.
And it's still a presumption it's of this production consumption contract that they are in with us, that we are in with them. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we understand, we need to give you.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to decide what we give you. I mean, it's the age old thing. And it's why people feel so invested and enraged by the Kardashians, I think, too, mm-hmm. because they're in that contract with them.
For sure. Okay, what's our next takeaway?
Simon being the MVP of the Courtney camp.
Oh my God, Simon.
Yeah.
Simon contains multitudes.
But we won't ever see them.
No, we will never ever see the multitudes because he is pushing them down.
To fulfill one role, and that is Courtney's...
Anything she ever needs him to be at any moment. Yeah. Maybe he's an assistant. Maybe he's a best friend. Maybe he's a stylist. Maybe he's a consultant.
Maybe he's a human shield if that ever came down yes. to it.
He is just a fucking K-Swiss knife that it goes in Courtney's pocket.
Totally.
So we want to give him a segment because he's kind of like a version of an NPC, but on a high, high, high scale.
This is so sad.
He is at work at all times, but yes. for like the lowest stake branch of the Kardashians. So it's kind of like that episode of Rick and Morty. Have to still reference it. It's
yeah.
too good.
Yeah.
To where like, which one's the scientist?
Rick.
Rick creates a battery for his car is an entire world. And then they go inside the world. And then there's the guy in the world also created another world to, like, power something in his world. And, like, that is Simon's in that third world. Simon's in the third world in the meta battery.
No, because honestly, like, we realized this, what season was it? That her camp is like they're fueled by fear.
Oh, for sure.
Like,
it's not fun in there.
No.
It's not fun in that little bubble. I'd rather be a part of Kylie's.
Oh, yeah. Kylie's seems like the most fun.
I don't even know what Kylie's is all about. I've never seen
really
her
see
friends.
It. Yeah.
But I want to be in that one if I had to be in any of them.
No, so he takes a leadership role during Courtney's like press tour in New York. They do a throwback to the Today Show. Courtney's nervous for her Today Show appearance. She's promoting Lemmy. And they contextualize Courtney's anxiety by showing a clip from this. It had circulated on the internet recently. I guess in the early 2000s, Courtney dispatched in an interview to some, I don't know if it was the Today Show, but it was some like news show. The one where basically she like very robotically disconnects. And what seemed to be happening is at the time, she was getting like some kind of message in like a like earphone or from someone behind like the camera, like about what she was or wasn't supposed to say. But it became like kind of a meme because it's like Courtney seemed like a cyborg that was like malfunctioning.
Mm-hmm.
So they clipped to that, which I think is because it was recently recirculated around the internet mm-hmm. and they like to do their nostalgia. They really contextualize what they're showing us now by giving us like the real stuff, the fun stuff, the like the viral stuff from their more catchy years.
It's a great way of memes are hard to archive mm-hmm. even though they're so like omnipresent
mm-hmm.
it's hard to find a meme that you saw
yeah.
so like it's a way of like they're so good at archiving it's a way of archiving the memes that have also been created
yeah
of them
that's a great point
mm-hmm.
and memes the power of memes is that they provide yet again narrative compression like they can compress an entire moment in time and like what mattered to people then the what was cool and funny or yeah. how humor was being expressed at that time. Like memes look so different.
For sure.
And that clip was like a meme in the sense that it was just a funny viral clip to people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was memed in different ways. They just showed us the raw footage, but right. like, it's just interesting. They pulled that out. I wonder who's doing that work of like, for let's sure. use that. That was viral. It showed that they must be cataloging what worked at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's kind of bad.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, just
Should we give like a more like visual Simon moment to explain?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot to pull from that scene. Oh my God. Afterward, everyone's like, Chloe, you did amazing. All no, of Courtney. Her like, or whatever. Oh my God. Sorry,
Which
guys.
Which rarely happens to her a lot.
Oh, true. So yeah. I'm like one of those people.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, she's got her like panel of yes people yeah. and they're like, amazing, Courtney. That was amazing. And then Simon, because of course he's like the leader of them all, so he has to say the most like he has to say it with the most gusto. And so he's like, what did he say? He was like, are they hiring on the Today Show? Something like that. Like, are you, this should basically, like, this should be your full-time job. And then she was like, well, I was on the Today Show this one time. And she kind of like snapped a little bit back with it. And he was like, yeah, and that's why you should be brought back, like, so nervously.
That's when it was, when we realized, when she was doing her initial Dolce & Gabbana meetings, prepping for the wedding with Travis. And like, it was like around that circle table.
Yes.
And like, she like snapped at Simon and like, the, so like, let it be known, like, we're not making fun of Simon here.
Oh no,
we're like, making fun of the broken system that is like, just, that has so corrosive to Simon.
That has ruined Simon's life. Like, talk about parallel lines or lives, because remember, that's something else that was interesting in Scott and.
Yeah, no, we're going to do that.
Oh, we already did. Okay, no, we're no, about to.
Next, yeah.
Well, okay, transitioning us into our next point, talk about parallel lines or lives. Like, Scott talks about Kim and what could have happened with their lives had it not been,
like, gone a certain way.
Yes, and, like, that's, you know, something with Simon we could think about, too.
Like, what would Simon's life be without the Kardashians? But, like, he's working so hard because he clearly values this. But it's, like, probably drug-like to be part of that whole, like, simulacrum. If you're at the heart of the simulacrum, like, I suppose you start fighting to keep your place there.
For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that transitions us into Scott and Kim talk about, have a really interesting, deep conversation. And all of this is in the setting of
Kim's makeup room, and North is putting, she's putting makeup onto Kim. And it's worth mentioning that it's not just any makeup. I mean, this is like the essence of the entire scene, but I also think it's interesting in characterizing North.
Mm-hmm.
It's movie makeup. It's like synthetic, like, costume. What do they call it? Basically movie magic makeup. That's not what they call it, but it's like special effects makeup.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. what it is. So it's interesting because it's not a pitch for KKW Beauty or any of that. It's
right.
It's just, it's outside of the realm of Kardashian products. It's like, we're seeing that North's interests in makeup are more camp and more Kanye in a way, in mm-hmm. that sense, you know?
It also just shows how high scale, like, the fun toys, like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
They're going to, like, movie sets and getting, like, actual special effects makeup.
Yeah. And, yeah, and it's, like, North being a little bit more of a tomboy and, like, not doing the pretty thing. It's, mm-hmm. like, kind of expressing herself and using Kim as a mannequin. Actually, it's a continuation of, like, Kim's function to Kanye, but with her kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so, should we worry about the birdie?
Okay, well, just a warning to everyone, there's birds. So I sincerely apologize, but they are here.
They're fans.
Mm-hmm.
So, right, so Kim is being transformed by North. Scott is hanging around because Scott has just, you know, he's playing his part for this episode. And they get onto the topic of, can you imagine if none of this had happened? I forgot, like, what moment he's pinpointing to say, like, it could all be different.
Yes.
And as he's saying this, do you have a thought?
Oh, no, just yeah. another example of Scott being, like, randomly insightful.
Yeah.
Because this is, like, he really, like, turns them down a deep road.
He always knows how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fork in the road narratively, and there's a decision to make in the moment of the construction of a scene, and he knows what the Kardashians need to get it there. That's why for a while when the
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The account was new, Kardashian Colloquium. Like, Scott was being tagged, #MVP.
That's why they keep him around, too.
Yeah.
It's like, they don't keep all the men around.
No, totally. Totally. At least not within their worlds. So, as he's thinking out loud, like, you know, what if this hadn't happened? What could have been? Where would you all be? Which I think they also like, that he always kind of has a thing of like, where would you guys be? This is your thing. I'm here to play a part. He doesn't try to do more. So he says, that would actually be a cool episode, wouldn't it? Like, where would everyone be? Like, what would happen? Basically, he pitches a parallel universe themed episode, because they really do have episodes that are themed around these very conceptual things, where they dress up as one another, or where they make the kids' existences as the Truman Show an actual themed episode, where they cut the best moments of the kids in their show into a show for the kids. So it gives us insight into what the brainstorming process might be like for them, mm-hmm. of like, hey, that's not a bad idea when they're just musing about these very conceptual, abstract things. And we're seeing like Scott bring it to a deeper place, like Marie said. And so Kim kind of latches onto that. I forgot really how it connects to this, but she says, yeah, my mom's been worrying about whether she's like kind of ruined us, or she didn't say ruined, but she did use the term what she's done to us with the high scale of what they do.
Yeah.
And we saw in an episode previous to this one, a genuinely tense moment happened between Courtney, Kendall, and Chris. Chris goes in to see Courtney and Kendall in a hotel room after all their press and all their big work days. And it just kind of becomes one of those very common family moments of like, they're talking about perfectionism and having to work so much. And they're like, it's because of you, mom. It's because of you. We're perfectionists because of you. We're anxious because of you. And you can talk about like where they allow a moment of realness to come through to the stagedness.
Yes.
Like you can see the sisters having a moment between like a psychic sister moment of like, oh, it's tense now, but you know what?
Fine. Deal with it, mom.
Yes. Yo. And Chris kind of bearing the brunt of it and being like, I'm going to go.
For sure. No, yes. It was a true, true, true moment. And just like as sissies, we could totally see that. And like, but the point of it, less that like we saw a real moment, the point of it is that like it shows that like that's something that's really being grappled with.
At this stage.
And obviously like that's why the narratives like fold in genuine processing scenes about it. Whether they're real or staged, I think sometimes it's just like they go into a room to process it.
I wonder if like, for example, and we could be wrong, but that moment felt quite unmistakably real to us as sisters. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if the producers do a thing of like, hey, last week it got actually tense in the room with Chris, Kendall, and Courtney talking about perfectionism and how like, you know, your mom has like created this new reality for all of you to live in. You want to talk about that with Scott in the next time you guys shoot. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then that braids a weird reality of like real moments that like are inescapable as human moments. Like you can't help but like vent out your frustrations and those things with your family sometimes. And then like taking it for content.
Yes.
That's like fucking crazy.
It's crazy, but it's always been what reality TV is about. And well-written reality TV, because we all know there's a certain amount of writing involved in reality TV, is putting real people in kind of like written situations. And so like there's an interplay between that already. So it's just like another way of doing that.
I wonder if that's what makes Netflix reality TV so uniquely psychologically manipulative, but effective, because it really is. The Netflix productions seem to gamify human relations like Ultimatum and Love is Blind, but it's like, they basically like know that they are social experiments, mm-hmm. and they approach them that way openly, and then they throw the humans in. And I feel like the Kardashians in a weird way is good at that too.
With themselves, kind of.
Yes, they
exactly.
do that to themselves.
For sure.
Yeah.
Their like commitment to capitalism is so like physical.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I'm trying to say about the fight. That's like interesting, of the real sister fight, and then them talking about, or not the fight, the real sister mom
tension. Yes,
is like both internally and like externally, they're really grappling with this like stage that they've gotten to, and it kind of is like a transition moment before they clearly like go transcend something else and like get
like adapt to it and then
yeah it's like an adapting moment because like and that's kind of what this whole like what do I even call it see like this grouping of seasons this like new
era
of the Kardashians
Hulu era.
Yeah the Hulu era of the Kardashians like television show is meant to be that kind of like getting us ready for whatever is next because they keep doing that. And it's like, but first we have to like kind of get ourselves oriented with like what's happened.
Yes. And like kind of like calibrate. Like, okay, we're here now. This is bigger than ever. And what's interesting is they're going to have a reckoning. If like right now the reckoning is like, oh, wait, we've been just like working. Like that's what occurred to me before. Earlier in the episode, we see Kendall prepping for work. And she's talking about how like she's always so busy when she goes to New York doing this modeling stuff. It's nice to be in New York without as much work. Mm-hmm. And that, it's so interesting. That piqued the thought for me before. Then it turns out they were five steps ahead of me and they were going to take it there. That like Kendall didn't need to work. The Jenner sisters didn't need to work. And even though it often feels like, especially with Kylie, she's just kind of being placed in these environments and like she's a girl boss. Like Kendall modeling is work. She works, she does it, and, like, she didn't really need to, but, like, every Kar Jenner sister had to be at work in the media, doing media work to make this brand what it is.
Right.
And so I remember thinking, like, that's interesting, like, and Kris determined that on some level.
Right.
At least on some level. And so then they take the narrative into that place of, like, how do they feel about this? That there's, like, a system greater than themselves, greater than the sum of their parts, basically, or that is the sum of their parts.
Right.
And so then they show us that they are thinking about that and have feelings about it, and they're talking to whoever these therapists are that they're talking to. And I say that because as a therapist, I think you have to have special training to deal with these kinds of situations.
For sure.
It's not, it can't be normal therapy. Not that every therapeutic relationship is different based on the client and what they're presenting with. And so it's not ever streamlined, but it's just like, just as there should be special training to help people with a certain like kind of like trauma background or something, there should probably be special training for someone that is so media exposed and so whatever that world is.
Totally. I mean, it's just like an entire different like relationship to your own subjectivity.
Yes.
So it's like, how do you even, and then as a therapist who has like kind of no frame of reference as a person to that, like, how do you deal with that?
Totally.
That's crazy.
It's something I've like really tried to sit and ponder as a therapist. And like, I'm humble enough to know that it's too big for me at this age, which is saying a lot because I actually technically study this.
Right.
Like what they do. You know what I mean?
No, totally. Be like fusing that would still be too hard.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, who are those therapists? I'm really curious. But anyway.
Oh, and I want to also just quick say, when I say like they're processing this, what happened? I mean, like, again, like their role in this like late capitalist system and like how are they, what it allowed them.
Mm-hmm.
And what gaming that system and climbing that system has like where it's gotten them. And I think that's like existentially probably so intense, and it's intense as like some as audience members watching it. So that's why I think it's like interesting that like they know that's like within themselves like something to reckon with, and also like their audience. It's like really knowing their audience too.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. I wonder if they're also, they're really performing like a reckoning in this season already. And it's sort of like, is that because of like the public discourse that they, were they using the public discourse as a prompt to make content? Like they're reading the reviews and being like, that's not true or whatever last episode, or is it resonating? That's also a question I often have about them. And it's interesting because it's like, anytime I've like pushed back with like an annoying comment on TikTok, I always end up feeling exposed and like, it wasn't worth it. And like, I'm like, is that what it's like for, because they're making the choice to put it in their TV show for posterity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, are they gaming us or are we getting to them? What is this?
Right.
You know what I mean? So yeah, Kim is talking about how like there's something to think about what Kris has done to them. Seems like Kim's pretty comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that if this is something they're grappling with now, it's going to be a reckoning they have to have with their kids eventually. Because
totally.
The assumption is, it's fine. Look where it got us. It's all good. That seems to be Kim's attitude about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is all good stuff. Why wouldn't you want it? But they're really making that decision for the kids as well.
For sure. And I actually, this will transition us into our final takeaway.
Mm-hmm.
But I do wonder if a focus on that is also feeding into the Dolce & Gabbana narrative. Because I'm seeing in, like, next week or in, you know, the teasers for the next episode or the rest of the season, like Courtney crying about the Dolce & Gabbana thing and being like, it's all about money. So I wonder if it's also positioning kind of like Kim on a side of, I like what we've done here and what's happened. And then like Courtney's like, no, because we also know that's kind of a real dynamic. And again, like they game the dynamic, the real dynamics.
Well, before we get into that, because that sets us up nice for the next thing, but I want a quick add. Putting prosthetics and like a big prosthetic nose onto Kim parallels the what if that Scott is posing and that they're all posing in that scene.
Totally.
Because obviously Kim's face has been intervened by cosmetic surgery. And when North is done transforming her, she puts on an outfit and a wig and she's become a character. They name the character Annika and they take her around the mansion and she interacts with a security guard that North pulls out from outside.
Which we'll talk about later as well.
Yes. And it's also, I think, setting the stage for whatever transformation Kim will be undergoing for her American Horror Story part.
Totally.
We see Kim enter a character and we even see her like make a voice for this Annika character. And so she is kind of like unsettling. It's unsettling to see her in that like developed of a character. And I think there's a reason.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think they want us to get a little bit used to like a more performing side. And I don't think that's where it is also like, that kind of stuff sounds conspiratorial, but I think it really is a level of marketing that like we have no visibility into, but there are like machinations happening.
Yeah. At the scale that they're at, this is stuff that they are very accountable to and have purview to. They're using data. I'm convinced of that. That's not conspiratorial to me. Like we're interacting with them, engaging with them through technology platforms. So they're also able to shape based on what they see works. And on some level, it's like, it's narrative. The word narrative is thrown around so much in relation to the Kardashians. It's true. I think it's really interesting that that's become like a conversational thing to throw around, because it's actually like narrative is like a concept. It's a highly literary concept. It's a semiotic concept. And they're just good writers. At a certain point, I think that's also what drives much of my project, is not even trying to expose the Kardashians. It's because I'm really amazed by impressive narrative. I'm not good with narrative structure as a writer. So anyway, I think, like, of course they're accounting for this stuff. That's what good writers do. I'm willing to give it to them. They're good writers. Okay.
Well, and good sellers.
Right, totally. And marketers, for sure.
Okay, so yes, next final takeaway is the continued Dolce drama.
Yeah.
Dolce drama, meaning this, like,
dilemma that Kim has of, do I take on this opportunity with Dolce & Gabbana to creative direct a Milan Fashion Week show, even though Dolce & Gabbana just hosted the Kravis wedding very recently. And we, as we kind of covered in the last episode of our podcast, like, we're skeptical that there's really going to be a drama about this, because even if Courtney and Kim have, like, their cynicism towards one another about Courtney's work ethic and Kim's, like, commercialism, Courtney knows the deal of how these partnerships work. They've been doing branded partnerships for the show forever, and Courtney benefits from them. So it seems a little bit like they're recycling this old thing now of like creating a conflict narrative that a brand can be at the center of.
Right. Yeah. Which is just like very savvy, insidious marketing.
Yeah. Cause it's one thing to do like branded partnership or product placement for like a fun, flouncy story, but it's like, this is a new thing to have this darkness, which really reflects the moment and culture that we're in, where there's a lot of darkness and a lot of conflict. So it's very resonant in that sense. And they, and this is why we feel even more confident that this is a structured, authored narrative for no reason at all. One of them, of Dolce & Gabbana, I forgot who, Domenico Dolce, I think he's the one we've seen the most of. He rolls up to like a Lemmy shoot.
Right.
To say hi to Courtney. And they're setting it up to remind us, like, because Courtney and Dolce & Gabbana are friends, and it's a friend personal thing with them. And it's like, there's no reason that Dolce & Gabbana is going to just, like, check in on Courtney before a Lemmy shoot. That is so Kardashian.
Right. And does he actually go to Los Angeles that much?
Maybe. Maybe so. But I can't imagine people are dropping in to say hi during photo shoots in this way for no reason. It's because they were shooting. It's because there's been like a narrative like mapped out that they're all playing out now.
No, which is like, that's insane that like Dolce, whatever his name is like.
I love how uncultured we are this way.
Oh, I know. Complicit. He's just so complicit in the narrative. It's crazy. It's just it just shows how much power they have.
Yes.
Because, like, in what world would a fashion house do this?
Yes.
Before.
And not only that, I think speculatively, please no one sue me, but paying to get to do it. Because
right.
I think that this is, unless there's, like, they figure out, they do the numbers and there's a mutual benefit that, like, breaks even.
Mm-hmm.
But technically, this would be product placement. And so you're paying, I think the fashion house is the one paying to get that coverage.
Totally.
Unless there's some mutuality that just cancels out. But basically, he visits Courtney early on in the episode to establish himself as, like, a friend character to her. And then as the episode progresses, Kim is planning to go to Milan to make her moves as a creative director. And what's really interesting is they really simplify stuff narratively for the viewer. And especially when it's high fashion stuff, they really break it down to make it clear. Like, this is why it matters for Kim. This is why it's a big step for her as Kim Kardashian in the fashion world. We found this quite murky. We found it confusing.
For sure. Like, what is actually happening?
Yeah. What's her role in this?
Right. Is it for, like, okay, so it's for fashion. Yeah. Like, and then
she's going through archives and picking looks from the 90s. Okay, nostalgia. We know that they like to do archival stuff. But, like, what? Now she's in a photo shoot dressed, like, in a very, like, bombshell blonde Italian aesthetic. But, like, what's the photo shoot for?
Right.
Yeah. And it kind of doesn't. But then it's, like, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Because this right. is a show about image production. And we're going to see the images. I saw those images on Instagram. What were they for? I don't really know. It was, like, Kim as an Italian bombshell.
Right.
But then it links somehow to the fashion show to come. But, like, right. okay, it's just.
It's, I mean, and it's all just, like, postmodern marketing. Yeah. It's
yes.
just imagery from different corners of the media landscape that, yeah. like, the show does a great job of centralizing all of them to make sense of some, but none of it has to, it's like, again, like, reference without a center. None of mm-hmm. it has to actually, like, come together in a full story. It's all just these, like.
That Kim Kardashian becomes the center of. Kim is the medium.
Right.
Kim talks about her production of the collection in this way. I'm not going to be able to think of quotes. When you guys watch it, you'll see, like, but she reveals a real consciousness of the viewer and the buyer, like mm-hmm. of her audience, that the viewer and buyer, which comprise her audience. She also uses the word content in this episode and previous episodes of the season more than I've ever heard her say. She's like, the content will be good, or we've made a lot of content already. So the content's being looked on the nose. And finally, it ends with the gang is en route to Milan to, like, really, like, make this fashion show happen. And Danielle, her stylist, forgets her passport. And the big debate that Marie and I have, and we're going to get into it in the next episode probably more, is did Danielle really forget her passport? Because what I think is it creates some drama and some stakes for this otherwise, like, another day at the office type of thing. Kim's doing fashion stuff. But it serves to, they're telling us Danielle's really important because Kim likes to double check with a second person.
Mm-hmm.
And so without Danielle, Kim gets to actualize as, like, an independent visionary.
Mm-hmm.
And she overcomes the stress of missing Danielle.
Right.
So that's my guess.
Yeah. That it just is, like, a device for, a hero narrative that they're setting up.
But you made a good point to wrap this all up. You made a good point within the premise that this is all product placement for Dolce & Gabbana, just really, like, really developed narrative. You made a point of, like, how's that pitched?
Oh my God. Yeah. That, like, assuming that this kind of stuff is definitely happening.
Yeah.
And that these are how ultimately just, these are just ultimately very, like, intricate brand deals. It's like, what does the pitch deck look like for that?
Yeah, like, is it like there's, like, an actual, like, slide that's, like, the iconic Courtney and Kim fight with the makeup on the wall? Like, there's some really great stills from that fight. And then, like, this is the data of, like, how well that did. So this will engage people to that extent.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm guessing so.
Right. It's just, like, at the end of the day, these are all of the work going into this whole Kardashian machine is, like, manifesting as people in offices tip tip tapping away. Mm-hmm. So it's like somebody made, like, a Microsoft PPT. What does it say on it?
No, totally. And that's, like, what that's, like, the level when people want to disconnect from the Kardashians of, like, it's all narrative, it's all staged, they're fake. And it's like, but what is that? Or wow, they have so much drama. That family is so annoying. Like, of course, Kim and Courtney are fighting again. Like, they're so shrill. Like, those are the ways that they're dismissed. Mm-hmm. But it's like, let's really think about the fact that, like, these are probably what the machinations look like. And, like, there's enough money behind all of this on their end and then on the consumer's end to rationalize it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I am pooped, mm-hmm. but not too pooped to announce the NPC of the episode, which is the security guard who North pulled out to, like, go meet Annika, the new art teacher, and just, like, really, really, that was not part of his job description of in general, but especially that day of just, like, I'm going to be on the show now.
I'm going to be on the show, and I'm going to have to give Kim Kardashian, who is in costume, in a really horrifying-looking costume because a kid put this prosthetic on her and did her makeup. There's, like, weird eyeshadow happening. And, like, it was, like, uncanny in a kind of disturbing way.
It was scary. Yeah.
And now I've got to, like, give some kind of reaction, and I'm not sure what's right. So I'm just going to smile and laugh. And what was kind of cute, but, like, sad, but interesting, was he and North seemed to have a genuine personal rapport, which is how it is as kids. Like, you're getting to know the people in your environment, and, mm-hmm. like, there's, like, that childlike innocence that, like, takes those walls down.
For sure.
And so when she pulled him into the house to show... Also, they just needed an audience. Otherwise, it's just Kim shuffling around in a weird costume with no outsider. So there needed to be an outsider brought in to view Kim.
Yes.
Which is interesting.
Again, the inside-outside thing. Yeah. In, like, previous iterations of that kooky dynamic is, like, them going out to L.A. on a tour bus. And, yes. like, da-da-da-da-da.
And, like, meeting the populace. Mm-hmm. But this time they brought the populace in.
Yes. Which security guard, I don't know his name. Did you catch his name?
No.
I wish I did. But you are our honored guest mm-hmm. for this. You're our honored NPC for this episode.
Yeah.
Keep fighting the good fight. Mm-hmm. Keep those kids safe. And he did great.
Yes. But you could tell he wasn't sure when he was supposed to leave.
But he honestly...
And that's a dilemma of any NPC in the Kardashian simulacrum is, like, what's my fucking role here and, like, when can I...
Yes.
Can I leave?
And not everyone can do it gracefully, but he did.
Yes, he did.
So kudos to him.
Yep.
I hope he has a great night's sleep tonight and a really good dinner before that. Okay. So that's it, guys.
Yep.
We will see you next episode for episode 4.
Yep.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.